Well, good morning again. Good to see everybody. We've had a wild ride for a month or so. Yeah, said Pastor Sanchez last week and Frank Vanderbush and Lenita here a couple weeks before that. And Kevin a couple weeks before that. Wow. Back to me today. Glad you guys are doing well and smiling and hopefully ready to be imparted with something from the Lord today. Amen? Amen. Amen. I like that. I believe that. Well, we're back in Philippians again. Surprise, surprise. And I don't know if you remember or not, because 2 weeks is a long time to retain those kind of memories. But last time, Paul kind of laid down, the last two times that I talked, we went through the section where he's saying, you know, everything else I consider rubbish compared to knowing Christ my Lord. You know, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, kind of my family line, my heritage, my upbringing. I've been, pursuing God, so I'm really good. You know, kind of that's what he was saying. And he's saying all of that I set aside for knowing Christ. We talked about the true gospel. And Paul didn't want that true gospel distorted. So we talked in America today, kind of the American gospel, you know, cultural Christianity. Yeah, go to church, you know, Christmas and Easter, and you're good, you know, and God loves you, and whatever, kind of that kind of thing. That's not the real gospel. So anyways, won't get sidetracked on that. But then the last time that I talked, we went a couple more verses, and Paul, after he had said that, I consider all this rubbish for knowing Christ Jesus, he kind of tacked on this addendum to that. He said, I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, participate in his sufferings, become like him in his death, and somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. And what a drastic couple of sentences. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Hey, we're all on board for that, right? But then he has to go and meddle and say, I want to fellowship with him in his sufferings and become like him in his death and somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul was saying, I want anything in my life that's fighting for supremacy to die down, and I want to know this resurrection power in my life so that I can walk this life out in victory. So that I can walk. We all want victory. How many want victory? Yep. How many wore your victory t-shirts this morning? Amen. I see that hand. Right? We all want victory. We don't all want the process to attain victory. I'll say that again for those of you that weren't listening. We all want victory. We all sign me up. I want to be victorious. We don't all want the process that it takes to get the victory in the Christian world, in the Christian realm, in the kingdom of God. It takes death to ourselves to get victory in life. Jesus said, hey, you love your life? You're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll gain it. And that is always the context of our victory. We're going to gain life if we lose it, if we give it up, if we walk away from my desires. And so that's what Paul was saying. He's like, I want to know this resurrection power, but I also want to fellowship with Christ in his sufferings and become like him in his death and somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. So we're going to move on to the next verses this week. Let's just read them first. Not that I've already obtained all of this, all of this being all the stuff he was just talking about, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. And this is found in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. That is good stuff. All right, we'll see you next week. Right smack dab in the middle, he says, "Have you ever been involved in a conversation? Maybe it was with your wife, maybe with a best friend, maybe with your parents, where you're just transparent and vulnerable, where you just kind of open it up and you lay it all out there? Anyone ever had a conversation like that before, where you're just vulnerable and transparent?" Why are we not like that all the time? Why are our conversations not like that all the time? Any thoughts? Why don't we just be transparent and vulnerable all the time? Right. About three of you said the same thing. Yeah, we're like, whoa, hold on. I'm going to show you a little bit of my heart and who I really am and whatever. And we, because has anyone, raise your hand if you've ever been hurt. Right? If your hand is not raised, you just didn't hear me or you're being disobedient. Right? I mean, that's all of us. We all have, right? We all have. And so we operate in protection mode a lot, and protection mode doesn't get us close to people. Keeps us. It's the purpose of protection is to keep you at a distance. And sometimes we wonder why we don't have thriving relationships. I just don't feel close to people because we walk around like this all the time because we've been hurt a lot. And I promise you, if you open up, you're going to get hurt again. But it's worth it. Like, you can be careful with it, but it's worth it to be vulnerable and to be honest. And so I want to just show, we're going to highlight a couple sections here. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. And then he says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Paul is making this pretty brash and bold confession. Do you guys know what this is? Take a minute, look at the picture. Do you guys know what that is? Have you ever seen anything like that before? What's that? There's a finger. Yes, there is a finger there. Not talking about the finger. Peeling off wood. Exactly. Laminated. Yep, it is laminated. Well, it's actually delaminated right now. And there's a term for that piece of wood that this person is holding. Does anyone know what that is called? Veneer. Say veneer. Those people, a lot of us, mostly all of us. Do you know what veneer is? Well, it's wood. Right. It can be other things as well. Why would you put a thin, tiny, teeny layer of wood on top of an already wood dresser? John knows. I'll just have to look everywhere else because I know John knows the answer. Because this is most likely poplar or beech, right? And I get that for 89 cents a board foot. Probably not anymore, but you know what I mean. This, I don't know, looks like walnut probably. That is $8 a board foot. Or if it's in veneer form, probably even more than that because it's clear. So I take the lesser valuable stuff that might not be as pretty, and I put that underneath, and then I veneer over the top of it with something glorious. Right? We do veneer over the top so that it looks good. You put the expensive stuff on the top because that's what everyone sees. And underneath is the beech. Underneath is the poplar, right? And a lot of people veneer themselves. Right? You're going to put the good stuff on the outside, right? Underneath is, well, we want you to be gold through and through. Yep. When you, I can't remember what they, like solid surfacing and stuff, or like, there's a term when the color runs all the way through it or whatever. But anyways, we want it to be the same all the way through us. And Paul, he's writing a letter to a church, and if you've been here on our Wednesday nights, these letters that were written to these churches, they get read at other churches, and then they get read at other churches, and they kind of pass them round robin. So Paul knew that and even encouraged that because he can't be there, and guess what? Paul had poor cell phone reception. There was no other way. Didn't get nothing out of that. There was no other ways of communicating other than these letters. And so they had to be sent with someone. And so Epaphroditus brought this letter to the Philippians. And so Paul is saying, share these letters around. So Paul knew whatever he wrote was going to get read by the whole church. And then it was going to get read by the other churches. And so Paul just puts himself out there. And he says, you know what? I could be veneered, but I'm not going to give you a veneer. Because one thing that you learn as a leader, you don't ever admit mistakes. One thing you learn as a poor leader, you guys hear me say that stuff all the time because I'm gonna try to not have veneer with you guys. I'm poplar through and through. There's no walnut here. We're hoping Jesus changes the species here, but Paul could have easily veneered himself, but he admitted, he's like, I haven't obtained this yet, guys. He lays out this huge, high bar. You know, I want to know Christ. I want to fellowship with him in his sufferings and know the resurrection power and become like him in his death. He's like, just so you know, I haven't got all that yet. Like he opened himself and they're like, wait a minute. I thought you were the super apostle. And so he took the veneer off and he let the Philippian church and all the other churches that were going to read this letter just kind of see where he was at. And so I just want to look at his confession of not yet obtained this, like kind of what it says to me. Maybe it doesn't say that to you, but you can listen as I read what it says to me. So what it kind of shows me is, number one, Paul was having an honest self-assessment. An honest self-assessment. And we read in Romans 12:3. Let me just read this. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me. This is Paul writing as well in Romans. I give each of you this warning. Here's the warning, all right? Here's the warning. Listen up. Church, here's your warning. Do not think you are better than you really are, but be honest. Say honest. Be honest. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. And I just want to say that one of the central tools to becoming an effective disciple of Jesus Christ is an honest evaluation of our hearts and lives. An honest, if we don't think about that a lot. Trust me, it's more difficult than we think it is. An honest assessment, an honest evaluation is more difficult than we think it is. To look at my own life, that's why it's so important to have your wives who know everything wrong and tell you all the time. Just kidding, that's not true. But wives who, and people, and best friends, and pastors, and support people, that can poke a little bit and can say, can I tell you how I see this? You're not going to like this. But just saying, hold on with me. And if we're willing, it helps us get an honest evaluation of myself. Because in order to go forward, we need to know what our actual condition is. Right? Like if you want to gain in something, like if I want to get faster in the 40-yard dash, well, I need to know how fast my 40-yard dash is right now. Well, I feel like it's really fast. But I'm going to train hard and then I'll get faster. Well, how fast is it now? Well, I just believe it's really fast. Okay. How come everyone else beats you on the field then? Well, they're just not loving me like they should. Translate that into everyday life for you guys, out of the football analogy, right? So we need to know where we're at now in order to go forward. We need to know where my heart is at. I need to know my thinking process. I need to know, have I advanced? Am I moving forward in Christ? Not that I'm earning something, because Paul just said that. We're not earning this, but am I moving forward? Am I becoming more like Christ? You know, to quote a theologian, one of the popular kind of common theologians of the century, if you're old enough to know him, Kenny Rogers, he said, we've got to know what condition our condition is in. Well, four of you know that song. We got to know what condition our condition is. We got to know where our heart is at. We've got to know where we're at. And so often when we're trying to assess this, hey, you guys, it's imagine like the top of a splitting maul or an axe or something like this fine edge. We try to walk, and we need to walk along that edge, but we always end up falling down to one side or the other. And the two ways that we fall down, two common conclusions about my condition is either I've arrived, we're arrogant, we think we're better than we are. You know, Paul spoke to that in Romans. Or we get discouraged, and we're like, we assess our true condition. We don't want to ever look at our true condition, because as soon as we do, we get discouraged. I'm like, oh, that's really in my heart? Oh, that's really how I think? Oh, I really struggle with that? Oh, like we tend to gloss over it and we veneer it up for ourselves and we convince ourselves that we're different than we are because we don't want to deal with it. We either get discouraged or we get angry. So that was a lot of stirring the pot this morning, but I just want to say we have to have an honest self-assessment because we want to be going forward. We want to be going forward. We want to be getting freer. We want to be looking more like Jesus. We want to be carrying more of his presence and more of his power. Yes. Yeah. We want to stay faithful. We want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. We want to act and talk and look like Jesus. We don't want to give God a black eye by our behavior and by our character. We want us to look and smell like Jesus. And in order to do that, I've got to walk forward because guess what? I was born looking and smelling like me. It's not pretty, right? And there was lots of... Yes, exactly. So we want an honest self-assessment. And number two, Paul's confession of this to the Philippian church that I've not yet obtained this, I would think would be a breath of fresh air to the Philippian church. Because the Philippian church are knowing, they know that this is Paul, man. He's just this guy. He's got it all together. Anyone ever known some spiritual person that did they just got it all together, right? Man, they probably never swore in their whole life, right? They just every time they pray, like, you know, the sky lights up or whatever, and just, wow. And so they might think that Paul is that. So I love this. If Paul, the most famous apostle, hadn't, quote, arrived yet, well, then there's hope for the Philippian people, and there's hope for us today. There's hope for me. If Paul hadn't arrived, but he was still Paul, if he was still in process, then it's hope for me to be still in process. In process. Moving along. We talked about it earlier. So much of the service earlier today just really is where this message is at this morning. I love when God does that. So we have this encouragement for the Philippian church. And then the third thing I see about this is that this is Paul's perspective. He's been saved for over 30 years at this point. So he lays down this big gauntlet. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and become like him in his death. All this other stuff is rubbish. And he says, hold on. By the way, I haven't obtained this yet, but it doesn't stop me from pursuing it. He's saying 30 years of seeing the dead raised, 30 years of starting churches, 30 years. The people that came to Christ when I started, like their grandkids now are serving Jesus. I've got 30 years of history of faithful following the Lord, and I haven't just been sitting on the couch. I've got 30 years of preaching, of being in prisons, of being tortured, of being stoned. I've got 30 years. I've got revelations from God. I went to heaven. Right? I've got 30 years of seeing the world transformed at my hands. I've got 30 years of victories. And you know what his leading statement is here? I have not yet obtained this. Huh. Like, I wonder where, 30, how many's got a resume that would kind of fit with Paul there? You know, any hands? And Paul is saying, I'm not arrived yet. I'm not there yet. I haven't gotten it all yet. Like, there's more for me going forward. I've got 3+ decades of victory after victory, of persevering in trials. You know about that? You ever seen a hole in a city wall? Yeah, I went out that one in a basket, right? Like, I escaped the capture. You know, I was tortured in all kinds of different places. 3.5 decades, probably. But you know, I haven't got this yet. I haven't obtained this yet. I haven't nailed it down yet. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived yet, Kathy. There's more. Right? I'm not all there yet, Linda. There's more. There's more going forward. I had this illustrious career in the kingdom of God. But I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't arrived yet. Warren Wiersbe says, this is the statement of a great Christian who never permitted himself to be satisfied with his spiritual attainments. Paul's like, you know what? Man, I got, you want to talk resumes? Let's sit down and talk about it. You know, it's all the grace of God. He's going to tell you that right away. But man, I've gotten to be like, you ever show up at the right time in the right place? You're just like, I didn't do anything, but like, I was just right here. And you know, someone comes along, pats you on the back. You happen to step into the group that was doing something really cool. You know, anyone ever been involved in a school project before, a group project? you guys nailed this. And you're like, yep. You didn't do nothing. You know, that's what Paul would be saying. Man, I didn't do nothing. Yeah, I persevered, whatever. But it's all Jesus. But he's saying, man, I just because I've seen all that, like, that's not where, we don't draw the line there. We don't stop there. When you've got the resume that Paul's got, you can come talk to me and I'll tell you what he said. He said, we don't stop there. We don't stop there. That's not our finish point. Our finish point is heaven. And on this side of heaven, we're pursuing. We're still chasing after. Here's another flip side of this. Kind of the hard part of this. Paul's confession that he has not yet obtained this also is not a badge to be worn or a banner to be flown. And he didn't allow it to become his identity. So number one, he said, I'm going to keep pursuing. But number two, he didn't say like, oh, it wasn't like this discouraging. Rather, it's a marker post along the path of his journey, soon to be seen only in the rearview mirror. He's like, I haven't obtained this yet, but I'm making this statement here right now. I haven't attained it yet, but you know what? A week from now, I'm going to look back at where I was then and know that I'm still in process. I'm still looking more like Jesus every single day. I'm still moving forward. And I don't care what season you're in your life with Jesus. There's more. There's more. There's more forward. There's more. So in this thought, and he didn't get discouraged. You know, we say it all the time. If you've gotten prayed for 100 times, get prayed for 101 times. You know, I say it all the time. That's this. It's no, we're not gonna let that define who I am. You cannot allow your current spiritual condition to determine your future path and progress. You can't let the mistakes and the failures, you can't let your identity of your what you think about yourself, your discouragement, keep you from progressing. Don't let the I've not yet obtained it, don't let that become your banner and be who you are. That's just an assessment. It's not an identity. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. Okay. So, you've fallen. Okay? So you feel weak. Okay? So you get discouraged sometimes. Okay? So you thought things would look a little different than they look like right now. Anyone here with me today? Okay. So you think you should be further along. Come on, church. Anyone awake today? Okay, so you struggle. I'm going to stop. That's all there is. I know, because we're getting depressed. But okay, so this is reality. This is reality. What is Paul's answer to I've not yet obtained all this? I press on. 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 Say press on. I press on. I strain forward. I press on. I press on. I press on. I strain forward. I am engaged in moving forward. I am committed to not staying here. This is not the end. This is not my lot in life. This is not the final straw. This is not the final picture of what you're going to see out of me. I'm pressing ahead. I'm straining forward. All that other stuff is true. Yeah, I've fell. I feel weak. I get discouraged. Man, I thought this was going to be different. Do I get stuck in the muck or do I follow Paul and press on? I press on. I press on. I'm moving forward. I'm not staying here. David Guzik tells this little fact here. When Spain led the world in the 15th century, her coins reflected her national arrogance and were inscribed ne plus ultra, which means nothing further, meaning that Spain was the ultimate in all the world. After the discovery of the New World, she realized that she was not the end of the world, so Spain changed the inscription on her coinage to plus ultra, meaning more beyond. And David says this, in the same pattern, some Christian lives say nothing further, others say more beyond. Come on, church, are you a nothing further or are you a more beyond today? Come on, are you a nothing further or are you a more beyond? There's more beyond this moment. There's more beyond your feelers right now. There's more beyond your assessment based on faulty facts. There's more beyond. God is not done yet. God is not finished with you. Charles Spurgeon, that lighthearted writer, said, but while the work of Christ for us is perfect, and it were presumption to think of adding anything to it, the work of the Holy Spirit in us is not perfect. It is continually carried on from day to day and will need to be continued through the whole of our lives. Yeah. That work of the Holy, like the what Jesus did on the cross for us is perfect. It's finished. Yep. It is finished. What the work of the cross is doing in us, oh, buddy, it's far from finished. More beyond. I like that. More beyond. The next time you mess up, fall, get discouraged, say more beyond. More beyond. There's more beyond. There's more beyond this moment. There's more beyond what I'm feeling right now. There's more beyond my assessment that I'm never going to get this. There's more beyond I'm falling apart. There's more beyond I just can't do this. There's more beyond. There's more beyond. There's more beyond. I'm pressing forward. I'm going forward from this moment. I don't know what the future looks like, but Jesus holds it, so it's going to be good. There's more beyond. I press on. I press into that. Kurt Trucca says, spiritual growth doesn't just happen. Spiritual maturity doesn't take place by osmosis. People don't just wake up and find themselves spiritually mature. I press on. I press on. There's more beyond. There's more beyond. I press on. Like, I'm not just waiting for the right set of circumstances for things to magically happen. I press on. I push on. I strain on. The press, if you have to press, that means there's resistance. Come on, church. Come on. If you've got to strain ahead, that means something's pulling you back, right? Anyone come here without your flesh this morning? Right? We live in a fallen world, in fallen souls and bodies that need to constantly be under maintenance and put in their place. And Paul said, I'm straining forward because you know what? Stuff wants to hold me back, but I'm pressing on. I'm pushing forward. There's more beyond. There's more beyond. There's more beyond. I'm pressing. I'm straining. I'm pushing. I'm moving. I'm deciding. I'm going. I'm thinking. I'm walking. I'm pressing forward. So also in this section, Paul balances these two thoughts. Because before he said, all my efforts are rubbish. They're all garbage. And now he's saying, I'm giving it all my effort. Well, wait, Paul, which is it? What is it? And it's this idea that I can't add anything to the work that Jesus did for me. But I'm also all in for not staying here because of what Jesus did for me. I've got to surrender and open up my life and let him do it in me. I say yes, because God isn't up there like an Italian mafia mob boss sending out Guido, who's going to bust kneecaps if you don't get that sin out of your life. Here you've been looking at something you shouldn't be looking at. Now, the Spirit convicts our heart. But he's not there to bash our head in. Like, he's wanting surrender. Last time, two weeks ago, I said I forget, C.S. Lewis, I think. I don't remember who the quote was by, but it was someone saying, God's waiting for the door to open from the inside. God's waiting for the door to open from the inside for the more forward. There's more than this. There's more than this. I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. So there's these, because you can think, well, Paul said, hey, all my efforts, it's just garbage. So I'm not going to do anything, you know? And you just kind of sit on your couch for your spiritual career, right? Hey, I know a couple verses. I watched church online last week, right? And if we're doing it to earn, you could do it for 10,000 lifetimes and you won't even get a quarter of the way there. But if it's in response, not to earn because of what God did, because he's in me now. Now he's giving me the power and I'm saying yes. And it's just day in and day out saying yes. Straining forward, saying yes. Oh, I'm being pulled back. I'm being pulled into this and pulled into that. And I'm being convinced that I'm discouraged, that I'll never change. And Paul's saying, nope, I'm pressing up through that discouraging emotion. I'm pressing up through that thought that says I'm not going to get through this. And I'm straining towards what God has called me for. I press on for what? To take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. I read this in multiple versions and I read lots of commentators and they all said the same thing. They said, this is an awkward verse in the English to quite get what he's meaning here and it sounds a little weird. They said it's even worse in the Greek. They said it's just, he's kind of doing a play on words. I mean, we know what it means, but it's just an awkward sentence. To take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Don't you love family pictures? Some of you are not huggers, and it shows. This is not about hugging. This is about Jesus taking a hold of you. And sometimes you're like that boy there. You're really excited to not have to go to hell, but Jesus has taken a hold of you, and that's kind of your reaction, church. What does that mean? God's always stirring and wanting more of our hearts and drawing us in. I press on for what? Not for something random, but to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Christ Jesus took a hold of me. And Paul's saying, now I'm pressing on to take a hold of that for the reason that he did it. There's another version that says, that same verse says, I press on to make it my own. Are you making it your own? Are you making this salvation, this walk with Jesus? Is it your mom's or your dad's walk with Jesus? Is it your Uncle Henry's walk with Jesus? Right? Is it your husband or your wife's walk with Jesus? Or is it your walk with God that you are making your own? Now, don't get me wrong. It's your own walk. We need each other. We need to be here. We need to be in community. Christianity is a community sport. If you see a football game happening with one guy, it's not a football game. It's someone playing catch with themselves, right? Same with Christianity. We need community. We're baptized into the body of Christ. You can't just get saved and go, like, there is no, you're in the body of Christ. You're either in the body or you're not. There's no other, you're part of the family of God or you're not. You're Israel or you're not. Every one of those is a group of people. You're either in the group of people or you're not. And yet, we need to make this our own walk. We need to make the personal decisions that I'm going to walk this out for Jesus on my own. Not on my own without the help of the Holy Spirit, but, you know, intentionally. And he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so many times, we get defeated, we get discouraged, and we say things that sound like this. We say things, well, hey, you got to just keep on keeping on, right? You just got to keep going. We just got to keep, and that sounds biblical. But so often, we're pressing forward at the wrong goal. We're pressing forward in scattered directions. So we're straining and we're pressing and we're striving and we're pressing on. We're not giving up, and that's a good thing. But Paul said, he didn't just say, I press on aimlessly. Hang with me. We're just about done. He didn't just say, I'm giving it a lot of effort and I'm just not giving up. That wasn't the sentiment here. Don't take something from this that isn't in the scripture here. He wasn't just saying, I'm going to keep on keeping on. That's faithfulness, and that's good, but that's not what he's saying. He said, I'm pressing towards a specific goal. Christ Jesus took a hold of me. And when Christ Jesus took a hold of me, he did it with a reason. And he did it with a purpose. When Christ Jesus took a hold of you, it wasn't just because he was bored. Christ took a hold of your life and filled it with purpose and vision and value and future and intention. And Paul says that. For that, that's what I'm straining towards. I'm straining towards the vision that God has for my life. I'm pressing towards that high call, not this low earthly call. I don't want to be a low life, right? I want to live the high life. I want to walk heavenward. God called me. He picked me. He picked you. He chose you. He caught you. He grabbed you. He took a hold of you. And when he did it, he wasn't like, oh, what do I got here? I don't know. It wasn't this aimless grab at nothing. He grabbed you with purpose and intention. And that's what Paul said, I'm straining for it. I'm straining towards that because my natural inclination is to strain towards something else that's not godly and gets me distracted. He said, I'm straining towards God's purposes, the heavenly call, the upward call, God's plan for my life, the word of God being fleshed out in my life, looking like Jesus, following him. So let's finish up. Three questions as we finish today. Did Jesus take a hold of you, or are you just showing up to church? It's a yes or no question. Did Jesus take a hold of you? Or did you just decide that you wanted to go to church? I love that you decided you wanted to go to church. But my question today is, did Jesus take a hold of you? God calls and we respond. It's the grace of God and we say yes to Jesus, right? So then my second question is this, have you taken a hold of Jesus? Paul said, I strive to take a hold of that for which Jesus took a hold of me, to make it my own. So today, this morning, fair question. Have you taken a hold of him? You're just like, well, yeah, I ended up in church when I was three and whatever. It's been a cool time ever since then. I don't know. Did Jesus take a hold of you and did you respond by taking a hold of him, saying, God, I wanna grab a hold of you? And last question today, are you pressing on to make it your own? That's what I want to leave you with today. Are you making this faith your own? Is it your own faith? Are you resting upon the church's faith or pastor's faith or your husband or wife's faith or your neighbor's faith? Are you making it your own? Is it your own faith? Is it your own walk with God? Are you pressing into that? Or are you just showing up because someone said we should go to church today? And that's great. I hope you do that. But then as Jesus takes a hold of you, are you going to be that boy in the picture? Right? Or are we going to respond by grabbing a hold of Jesus and say, yeah, let's walk this out together. Let's go forward. There's more. There's more forward. More forward. There's more. There's more. There's more. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for this beautiful congregation, God. I thank you for souls that have been plucked out of darkness and placed into the kingdom of God. And I just pray today that whatever lies, either that we've arrived and we don't need to do anymore, or we'll never make it. We just break both of those lies today. Pray that we would have an honest assessment of ourselves, like your word tells us, and that we could assess those areas that all right, here's where you need to work in, God. Let's do this. Let's go forward for your will and your purposes. And I just pray that over this group of people. Pray for energy and grace. Pray for the strength of God to walk out the will of God in the church of God. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.